I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 4, Episode 31. And 31 means, yes, the Wheeling Cadillac GTP car.
Yep.
Isn't that exciting? Driven by Earl Bamber, Jack Aiken, with Frederick Vesti and Felipe Dragovich. Round up the driving crew there, but I think it's Earl Bamber and Jack Aiken are the 1-2 drivers. So, pretty cool. Don't know if they did 3 at Indy, but I can't remember. Anyways. All right, on tonight's episode, we have NASCAR, the Hollywood Casino 400, and controversy. It was awesome. We also have the WEC, 6 hours of Fuji, a fantastic race. I have no other way to describe it. It's really what endurance sports car racing is all about. And then we shift our attention to the Nordschleifer. And a special guest appearance by a certain Max Verstappen. All right, let's get to it. And then we'll have news and notes and our predictions for Singapore. First things first, though. How many times? Well, let's save this. Well, Christian, you can give me your prediction when we get to it. But how many times will we see the dragon cross the track?
I would say the over-under is 0.5, because you don't really see it more than the one chance they highlight in practice. But
how many will meet a tragic end?
Oh, I mean, that would be the
I'm going to say under 1.5. You know, definitely one.
I would say there's no sightings and then you just don't have a tragic ending. But
oh, okay. No tragic ending like last year with Fernando.
But if you wanted to double your money, I mean, yeah, that would be one way to do it.
Oh man. I just want to see Max go what did he say? Oh, there's a lizard on the track?
Yeah.
That was a big lizard. Yeah. Anyways. All right. Let's get to it. NASCAR, Kansas, Hollywood Casino 400, and congratulations to Chase Elliott, who comes from fifth place on the last two corners to win the race. Why? Toyotas in front of him decided to get into it with one another. Including team owner of 23XI, Denny Hamlin, and his erstwhile driver, Darrell Wallace.
Yeah, I just saw the last lap, and
I know, but it was awesome. Four Toyotas could have taken one of them, could have won the race, and the four of them mix it up one another, and Elliott goes underneath and wins. It's awesome. Love it.
Yep.
Yep. That's the way it rolls. Mm-hmm. Surprise drive of the day goes to Shane Van Gisbergen, who started one lap down when the race started due to a penalty from the back of the pack. I have I didn't read into why he was a lap down. It's some kind of penalty, but I mean, Jesus Christ. Just put the guy at the back of the pack.
Well, I mean, you said he fought back to the top 10, right?
He started dead last, yes. One lap down.
Right. Yeah. And got all the way back. 10. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Heck of a performance.
Charlie can't drive ovals, apparently.
Yeah. See, if he made it into this round, it would just be really interesting to see where he would be after this. Actually, I don't even know how he did the last round.
Again, living proof why the playoff system is stupid. But anyways.
I think last year was proof enough.
Yeah, that's pretty much true. All right. So move on to the Roval this weekend.
Mm-hmm. So hopefully SVG going for the road course sweep.
Road course sweep could play spoiler for the playoff standings. Let's take a quick peek at those, shall we? Just we don't have our NASCAR insider here because he's parts unknown right now.
Even with the system, I couldn't even tell you who's at the top of the board anymore.
So right now, the four drivers that are on the cut line, meaning they could be out. This is ninth place through 12th place. Is Ross Chastain at number 9, Darrell Wallace at number 10, Tyler Reddick at number 11, and Austin Cindric at number 12. Now, had the Toyota guys, Wallace and Hamlin, not get into one another, Wallace would be above the cut line.
If SVG doesn't win this race, Tyler Reddick wouldn't be bad.
No. Cindric could win.
Yeah.
I think the Dinger might win, though. I'm going to go the Dinger.
I'm just going to say SVG completes the sweep. That's my pick.
All right. Okay. Excellent. All right. Right now, in the playoffs, Chase Elliott is your... Elliott and Blaney are on to the next stage. Why? Well, they won.
Win and in.
Yeah, apparently. Oh, God. Dumbest thing. All right. Larson's third. He's had a horrendous season. All right.
Yeah.
Well, all right. So on we go to the Roval. We'll discuss next week. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's go to Fuji, Japan. 6 hours of Fuji. And, you know, it's quite possible that BOP may have been done right at this point.
I wouldn't say done right, but I will say it is a lot better.
Better? Okay. Yeah. I like that.
I thought it was really with the 1 kilometer straight that's there at Fuji, it is really telling to see where the cars are.
But isn't this track almost made one of the shortest on the wet calendar?
I think it is.
But I mean, like, just before we get into the results, I mean, if we look at it, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 makes. Eight makes in the top 10.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. I mean, and there was a bit of a gap between first and second. We'll get to our winners. Second and third place was a dogfight.
Mm-hmm.
Which was awesome. Fantastic driving. Fourth place had a medium gap, and then fifth you know, fifth through the top 10, it was a big spread. But the point being is that, you know, it was kind of due to the fact that these cars had to take different, you know, we're down to like pit stops in the last hour of the race, you know?
Well, it was that, but it was, I guess it was more so of how the cautions fell.
Yeah, right. The race. Yep. No, that's true.
So, I mean, that definitely kept everything close, but it also, it flipped the results on its head too. With some of the timing of them. And it was really the,
that's true.
I think the second to last caution that really flipped everything around.
Yeah. All right. So should we get into the race? I mean, I'm just going to say first off, before we get anywhere, and congrats to the winner. I'm not going to say who it is right now, but the car of the weekend. Was the Peugeot?
Yeah.
No, you're not gonna buy that.
I think the Cadillac was probably the car for the weekend. By the time the race came out.
Well, I said surprise of the weekend.
Oh, surprise of the weekend.
Yeah, sorry. I'm sorry if it came out that way. It should have been the surprise of the weekend. I apologize for that.
Yeah, I think a case could be made for the Peugeot and the Aston. But the Peugeot team, I think, did a much better job across the weekend. So that, yes. I would give it to them in that sense.
Yeah, and congrats to the Aston, because I think this was their best performance.
Yeah, definitely by a long shot.
With a fifth place. Again, might have been a combination of the track. It wasn't just a big swoopy track, you know, because it was kind of tight and twisty.
It sounded like they finally pulled off enough weight off the cars.
Oh, okay. So they've made some improvement.
I'd have to double check that.
Okay.
Because it was one of the heavier cars when it first got introduced into the class.
So, and it's been constantly modified. Well, within the homologation rules, it's been constantly updated.
Well, it's just the BOP that's been adjusted.
Optimized.
Once it's been homologated, you can't. There's nothing changing of the car.
Right.
The only thing that gets changed. Aside from just your normal setup adjustments, is any adjustments to weight, power, and virtual energy tank.
Gotcha.
So it seems like they've pulled off some weight on the car, which is probably attributing a lot of the success to it. I would imagine that there's some just raw setup development as well that goes along with it, because...
Yeah.
It's only its first season, so I'm sure they're still figuring some stuff out. But it was very encouraging to see the car be competitive and up and in the mix, no problem, with the BOP slightly adjusted in its
figures. Yes. Yep.
So that's encouraging to see, and that thing is a rocket ship down the streets.
The Peugeot?
No, the Aston. Aston.
Yeah.
The Aston was.
Well, the Peugeot was pretty quick, too.
Yes, yep, the Peugeot was. And I think that was probably just the story across the entire field. Like I mentioned, with the straight being as long as it is, you can see where some cars are faster and where some cars are slower than each other, and how you can... take that any further BOP adjustments a step further, because I mean it was really funny watching some cars just get the acceleration launch out of the final turn, and then halfway down the straightaway one of the other cars gets a jump back with just the top speed that it has.
Yep, that's true. It's very true. All right. Well, let's get to our winners. A rather surprising winner. Mm-hmm. The Alpine.
Yes.
Paul-Luc Chaptan. Chaptan. Mm-hmm. Chris Malisi. And Ferdinand Habsburg. Now, interesting thing with those three, they are gold drivers.
Yes. Yeah, I heard them mention that. I was like, that's
That was cool. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool.
So it's very cool. Essentially, all these guys have come up through the ladder. Let me rephrase this a different way. It sounds like none of these guys have had factory support
rides until this time.
Prior to being in the Alpine hypercar program, it was all LMP2 mainly.
I can definitely say Chaptan and Habsburg, they ran in ELMS, and I'll be honest with you, they brought the dough. Mm-hmm. I mean, Habsburg's part of the Austrian royalty, as if you will, the Habsburg dynasty. I'm not joking. That's definitely where he comes from. Mm-hmm. And Chaptan's got, he's got money, but they came up through ELMS and, worked their way up in LMP2, stuff like that, to get the fact that they get these Alpine Rennes. It's Charles Malisi. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. He just came up through the French ladder system. So, all good on those guys. Peugeot was second. With Mikael Jensen and Jean-Éric Vanney. And our favorite of the podcast here, Paul DiResta. Mm-hmm. Nate would have been excited with that. Nate's actually excited because it was a French 1-2.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to go back to back to like when Renault in the 80s finished 1-2 with their cars, that like our French team was.
Well, the last time the French car won the race was
The Peugeot at Le Mans, right?
I think it was 2011.
Yeah. And those guys were pretty cool. So that was pretty cool. But it was cool. So that was fun. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Definitely team that got screwed the most was Cadillac, most definitely, because they just yellow came out and didn't help them at all.
No. Team that was in the wars all weekend was Toyota. Holy crap.
Yeah. Talk about just not catching a break. I mean, the number eight car got a 3-minute stop and hold for a pit stop infringement.
And they were hit by the car that ultimately won the race.
Yeah. Yep.
And no penalty was given there.
Right. So, and even the broadcasters were saying too, it out of any team to have a pit lane infraction,
right,
you wouldn't think it would be Toyota. I think some of it was just unfortunate circumstances where I think they had to do emergency service on the car.
Yes.
Just because the timing of when the yellow came out.
And then they had to come back in because of that.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, yeah, there's, which kind of, it's, that's a rough one.
I mean, they got back two laps out of the three that they went down. So,
right.
That was a good comeback there. It's just just need a little bit more time, but I mean, that's how racing goes. It was cool seeing Proton up in the front for a bit.
Mm-hmm. A long time.
Yeah. Pace showed its true form and it was not there. Not that it was really a strong weekend for Porsche in general, but it seemed like the Penske car was able to figure it out and work its way up to the front.
They rebounded.
Yeah.
They rebounded.
Which, I shouldn't say that and be surprised because you see Penske do it in IndyCar. And I would assume as well in NASCAR if the weekend goes right. But I mean,
I would say so. Yeah.
In WEC, like they definitely did not have the strongest car and they were able to get up towards the front, by the end, which is cool. So work their magic that way. Not only on the front, but third and fourth finish. Yeah, so did a really good job there.
Wow.
I do have to say, though, I think the most disappointing hypercar so far has been the BMW. I'll put the Peugeot in there as well, but
it's had one. Yeah, the BMW hasn't, but it's weird. The BMW and IMSA has had a decent season.
So that's like, yeah, the Peugeot hasn't won yet, but neither has the BMW.
Right.
And the Alpine now has won a race. And so, I mean, based on BMW's trajectory, I mean, they're really the only car that's gone backwards in all of this.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, Toyota's been going backwards, but it's pretty obvious why they're going backwards when they get hit with, you know, another 20 kilos every mm-hmm. race. So, I mean, that's not surprising.
Right.
Whatever BOP got applied to the Ferrari this week, definitely put it down at the bottom because it was not, not competitive. And not that I don't want to see Ferrari win, because I want to see someone else be up at the front, and you know they had their dominance mm-hmm. at the beginning, but like this weekend was definitely disheartening to see, because it's like they just don't even have a chance to win, and that stunk, because you just don't have you don't even have a car that can really fight at all. But yeah, BMW is an interesting one. I mean, I hope they prove me wrong at Bahrain. That would be a really nice way to cap the season off for them. But I would have to think Porsche is very strong with its last few results, and I mean, if they want to give an entertaining finish to the season, you give Porsche a favorable run to the run to the finish, because they're the only ones really mathematically that can. I'm sorry, let me back that up. They are the only ones mathematically that can take the fight to Ferrari in the hypercar championship. Over in GT3, just switch into that quickly. I mean, Porsche is just one step closer, but it's definitely not going as easy as it did last year, because both the Vista AF Corsa Ferrari and the TF Sport Corvette are within a shout. More so the Ferrari than the Corvette, but that's definitely an interesting battle to watch it unfold. I mean, really, GT3 was also, I mean, that field got flipped on its head. During the caution cycles as well. Because the McLarens looked fast. at the start.
They've been fast the last couple races.
Yeah, and then they just aren't there.
Yep.
Similarly with BMW and Hypercar, the Mercedes and GT3 are not looking great.
No, they definitely kind of.
And I know this year is their first year, but man, like, just not really there.
Yeah.
So.
But hey, it was. I thought it was an entertaining race, though. So.
Yes. On the whole, that was great. Out of all the races, I was glued to the screen watching that one. And I know Coda was crazy as well with the rain, but I mean, you can kind of skip through it a little bit because of how heavy the rain came down at points. But yes, this Fuji race, definitely a great one. And it was, I guess, a cherry on top, considering the fact it was the 100th WEC race.
Congratulations to them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So where are we on to next? Bahrain.
Yep. And we have some time off until that one.
Yeah. That's not our final race, is it?
It is. Yeah.
Wow. Season has gone by.
The unfortunate thing is we're going to have to wait until the
November 8th.
First week in November. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
So.
All right. Well, we'll wait. We have Petit Le Mans in
yes.
two weeks' time. So that'll break things up. We'll get to that. There's some news there breaking on teams. All right. Let's go to the man that everyone is talking about in motorsports right now.
Mm-hmm.
One young, and happy birthday to him, Max Verstappen. I believe today is his birthday, Christian. A mere 4 days after yours.
Yep.
You two are the same age.
Yep. My F1 career ended when
Max was born.
No, when
you weren't born into the Verstappen family.
Yeah, no. I remember watching his first like FP1 outing.
Yeah,
in Japan.
I did too.
I was in class watching that. I was like, oh, there goes that.
That was in high school. That was in high school, right?
Yeah, that was in high school.
Yeah,
it was like 2014, right. I think.
Well, you could compete with him in karts. We just didn't have the Verstappen budget.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But we I'm no Jos Verstappen with the wrenches either, because I'll credit Jos. He knows what he's doing with the wrenches on the karts. Right. So, well, also, it doesn't hurt when your mom's like a world class karter too.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so congrats to Max and his co-driver Christopher Lollum. Apparently, there was a third guy.
Mm-mm.
Third guy listed, but I don't see where this guy drove.
No, it was just the two of them.
Well, oh, wait a minute. What is it? There's some German. I don't know what it is.
Was it Franz Hermann? Did they put Franz Hermann as the third
guy? No. There's, I don't know. It's like German or Austrian or something. It's all over the place. Anyways. Oh, maybe that's the class they were in. I don't know. Anyways, so Max in the Emil Frey Racing Team took the win, qualified third. It was kind of entertaining because Max drove the entire qualifying session instead of Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And
the onboard,
they qualified
of him to him qualifying is wild too, because he dips it in the grass.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. In the grass, and then we had and let's be real. All right, this was not the biggest field Okay, and this and look, Max had nothing to do with the field and shit up. I mean, there was, first off, the WEC was running this weekend. So a boatload of GT3 guys were there. There was a 24-hour Barcelona race, which a bunch of guys were at. So, and some of the teams that would have raced here were at those races. So, you know, that so there's historically, when you get towards the end of the season and you have these conflicts, the NLS does takes less of a priority, you know, because it builds up to the 24 hours and then kind of drops off after that. But yeah, regardless, Max started third. Mm-hmm. And turn one was P1.
And didn't look back.
Didn't look back.
And just to add on to your point there, yes, about a weak field, like we already said, mentioned that going into this,
yes,
into this past weekend. I mean, like you could take it either way you want, like, because if he wins, everyone's going to complain like, oh, it's a weak field. But at the same point, like, he won around the Nordschleife. It's not easy, right, to do. So
and I'm going to counterpoint that when we get, you know, and I think you might agree with me. But I mean, let's put it this way. The Mustang that finished third, which was really finished in second, but they mucked around because the second, the one that was third needed the points, had Frank Stippel in it. And Frank is one of the masters on the Nordschleifer. Okay. The guy's won the 24 hours three times. He's won tons of races. He's been a sports car racer his entire life. The guy's 50 something, and Max is, yeah, he's 23 years older than Max. Mm. So when Max was born, this guy was racing at the Nordschleife. Okay. So, and he's no slouch, yeah, at being 50 years old. Mm-hmm. And he was, and because the last race, he wheeled the Mustang to a victory.
Yeah.
And that was against the two Manti Porsches.
Right.
Which were not here because Manti was elsewhere. So that's just the way it goes. But this car that finished second had Jan Martinbaro in it. Mm-hmm. And Dennis Fetzer and that. So those guys, again, not... Oh, it's Fabio Scherer. Jeez, they actually had a really good lineup. So, I mean, again, there wasn't a deep field, but there weren't slouches in it.
No. No, and it was, you mentioned Jan Martinbaro. It was, that was another neat story too, just his first time back to the ring after 10 years of his crash, so.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, he's been working his way back, you know, and, you know, so good for him, mm-hmm, and good on the Ford guys to put him in the car, so.
Yeah.
Who knows? Next year, one Mr. Verstappen could be driving a Mustang here. Maybe. Anyways, so after, I was listening to the not our favorite other podcast, or one of our other favorite podcasts, but I was listening to another podcast, The Race, mm-hmm, which usually covers Formula One, and the guys all watch The Race, and one of the guys was going, you know, he's watched Max, like, sometimes on his, when he's doing his iRacing thing. And, you know, he said, it's kind of funny because, like, you know, Max will make some move, go for the lead. And then he can often hear, like, Max will, like, you'll see, like, because he has the camera set up where you can see what's going on back. And there's, like, a crash in back of him on the first lap. Mm-hmm. And Max always starts, like, laughing. Like, because he goes, oh, these guys, I can't believe they just did that, right? Mm-hmm. There was literally a crash right behind Max. Like, some guy in a Porsche tried to, like, outbrake everybody. Mm. And, you know, it was... I was just like, you got to be kidding me. Anyway, so by the time he went around the pole sitter, from there, this is what I thought was impressive. He just grew the lead. You know?
Yeah.
until the point where he started to have to go through traffic, and he, you know, was able to maintain the lead and then grew it again. I mean, it was ridiculous. I mean, he did an awesome job.
Yeah, I think he, by the end of his stint, which was like 2 hours, he had
2 hours. Yeah,
he pulled out a minute and a half gap on second.
So did he how many pit stops were they supposed to do?
I think there were three. I think you can split it up where it's like a on every hour. So there's,
okay,
there's
so Max,
four,
I think
four stints total.
Four stints total, right? Yeah. So Max did two, and Crystal Elm did two.
The last two, yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, so I mean, Max did a great job, and then you know, weaving his way through traffic, stuff like that. I mean, it's tough, you know. I mean, but that's the reason they have that process of what you got to learn in, you know, whether it's the online course or the, you know, the driving course to get your license. That's that's why you do it. So, you know, good on Max for doing that. I want to just take, I want to give a shout out to Chris Llewellyn, who, you know, I mean, Max turns the car over to you. You got a big lead. You know, the last thing you want to do is blow it, and he didn't.
No, and it seemed like a lot of the lead got cut down because he got, he was on the wrong side of the fence when some slow zones would pop up and then disappear.
But so, that's what happened. Again, that's what happens at the Nürburgring.
Right. You know? So not his fault. And it's and yeah, like you mentioned, he's not driving slow either. Like Chris is very fast. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's not as experienced as some of the big guns that are going to be coming back.
Yes.
You know, but I mean, he's in that next tier below that.
Right.
So.
But he is still very quick.
Yeah.
Considering the
Well, him and with the Thomas Vermeulen, they run Max's car in SRO Europe.
Yeah,
and I believe they got it. They have a win or a podium.
I know they won the. I'm sorry, they won the gold class in
gold class
in
okay.
the Spa 24 hour, and then I think they also won the gold class championship.
Okay, so I mean, then both of them are not slouches.
No.
So, you know, don't know if Thomas will be in the car for next year, but you know, Max is all about helping his drivers, whether the guy's on red line, moving from the sim world to the real world, or guys that are coming up that he has a fancy for and, you know, brings them in. So, you know, good on him. You know, I think he feels very comfortable driving that Ferrari. So,
It's odd sitting here today that you can say Verstappen has won with Ferrari this year while Lewis hasn't.
Well, they raised the flag in Maranello, no joke, because Ferrari won. I don't know. I found it entertaining. I guess there's one more NLS. Well, there's a couple more NLS races, but there's one more where there's no conflict. So Max could be back.
Yeah, it seems like Max will be there for next year in the 24 hours in Nürburgring.
Yeah, so it should be entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
Got anything more to add to that? I don't think there was.
Not really. I mean, like that's where a lot of the everyone's eyes were glued on Max driving around there.
Oh, I know what I was going to add to that. There was some crazy stat. Obviously, I think there was an increased crowd at this race. Don't know exactly what.
Yeah.
I mean, the first one, like that one where we did the GT4 car, like apparently there was 50,000 more people there that weekend. So I have to assume maybe it was something like that, but I never saw anything on it. But apparently on YouTube, like they crushed on the streaming. Like it was like the highest volume.
Nice.
So that was pretty cool. But so the next one, I don't know when the next one is.
Yeah, just to clarify, next year, the 24 Hours of Nürburgring falls in between Miami and Canada. So,
in Canada.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say Max has a very high likelihood that he will be at that race next year.
Right. Whereas the Spa 24 and Le Mans 24, I don't think he would go to Le Mans. I next year. I think it would be, even though there's a thing, but if there was an opportunity and the Spa 24 didn't conflict, he would have done that. So. Just trying to see when the next one is. Bear with me. 1 second.
Yeah, and Spa 24 next year, it conflicts with Austria, so that won't happen.
I'm on the good folks at Daily Sports Car here. Here we go. Let's see. Next weekend. No, the 10th and 11th. That's the last one.
For NLS or VLN?
Yeah. NLS. Oh, is there a V? Are they running this 2 series?
This
was all NLS.
You can correct me if I'm wrong. I think they're the same.
Yeah. Hold on.
The
Nürburgring-Langstrecke. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Next one is October 11th. Yep.
All right. Well, that's Petit Le Mans weekend. So.
Well, I don't.
Did you say October 11th?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Petit Le Mans weekend. Well, that could be a precursor before the race.
Mm-hmm.
But Max won't be. I don't think showing up. I think if he shows up somewhere, it's going to be at Daytona. I think that's the one he'll do first.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's all the racing information. Let's take a quick trip around the world of racing. One thing that came up last week, right after our show was recorded, was from the world of sprint cars. That Tony Stewart Racing and Rico Abreu Racing are merging together. Enrico is going to be driving Tony's sprint car next year in the High Limit Series.
That is cool.
Very cool. And Rico is dominating in High Limit. Well, I don't know. It's a tight points race, but it's Rico has got like the most wins. He's definitely the hottest sprint car driver in the country. That's for sure. But the High Limits thing it's very competitive. So, but also that Rico's been going outside High Limits and running World of Outlaws and other stuff. So, but he's running next year. He's run Tony Stewart. He's pretty much going to run Tony Stewart's sprint car program with some of Tony's people and most of his in the three. It's a sprint car is kind of weird. Rico really has three full-time guys that run the car, and then the other full-time employees of the team are Rico, his wife, and Rico and his wife's dog. So five people.
That's all you need. Sounds good.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. And Tony Stewart Racing, I think, has like five people. So it's like, anyways. So, but anyways, that'll be cool. Go to some entries for Petit Le Mans this week coming up.
Next week.
Changes next week.
1 week.
Changes got here. JD Miller shook up its lineup.
No.
Still going with Timo Vandehelm, who's very good. Mm-hmm. They've subbed out Nico Mueller.
Oh, no.
And the reason for that is he has a Formula E commitment with Porsche.
That stinks.
So, and then in between all that, Ginny Bruni he left the team. So they have, mm-hmm. now they had two openings. So now they filled it with the ageless Neil Yanni. Love that guy. And this was a surprise. With an American, 22-year-old Max Esterson.
Oh, very cool.
Very cool is right. So Max is going to be joining. I don't know if I know he was running Formula 2 this year, but I don't know. Wasn't doing really, like, this was, he moved up from Formula 3, right?
Yeah.
Formula 2 this year.
Yeah, he hasn't, this year gone.
Yeah, panned out. Yeah.
His way. I mean,
he had a ton of success in, let's see, British Formula Ford. And then ultimately, he ran British Formula 3, and then he moved into FIA Formula 3, and he was doing quite well in both of those series, and then moved up to Formula 2 this year. Mm-hmm. But he hasn't had the success that Jack Carfin's had, so. But anyways,
no.
that's cool.
Yeah. It's definitely been kind of a subpar season for.
Yeah, and I don't know Max. If the money ran it, because I didn't see, like, I don't think he ran it at
Baku.
Azerbaijan, yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't there last weekend. But he's also. He's on Trident, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's who he's driving for.
Well, it looks like Trident has, for the last round, they subbed out both drivers, not just Max.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because
it's that time of year when they do weird things in Formula 2.
Yeah.
It's when the biggest check, usually guys are moving up from Formula 3 with big checks. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to try and run a couple races. So, anyways. But, hey, anyways, Max has got a ride for Petit. Hopefully, it doesn't stall at his career. Gets him going in sports cars. Maybe gets him a look for IndyCar. Who knows? He's a very talented driver, so wish him luck. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. Over at Meyer Shank, the ageless Tristan Vautier is back. He will be driving with... hold on a second. Just making sure I get this right. Where was it? Oh, he's going to be driving with Renger van der Zander and Nick Yellely. The reason for that is their usual co-driver is involved in a court case.
Oh.
In England. Hmm. And that being Alex Palou.
Yep.
And his court case with our boy Zach. Anyway, Zach, drop it, will you? This from the guy who signs Piastri. Yeah. Oh. I mean, jeez.
Well,
and signs about.
And this is the thing too. It's like if you give. He arguably has the strongest lineup in F1 right now. At McLaren.
Yes, 100%.
So I mean, if Ferrari had a competitive car, yeah, I'd say, you know, Ferrari has probably the best combination. But with how everything's rolling, like, McLaren is 1-2, and it's not just because of the car, it's because of the drivers as well,
right,
in this case. And
yeah.
If you are going to play this game of having a bunch of drivers, I mean, where are you going to put Alex if you...
I know, and they also have Pato. They also have Pato,
right?
You know,
right? I mean, just to play the game. Like, where would you put Pillow in F1 if you right. were to, if you were to give him a shot? Yeah. I mean, I think seeing that Colton is gonna probably have an F2 ride to try and get some super license points.
Yeah.
If you're gonna say any other driver in IndyCar is should be given a shot at F1, Pillow's definitely the guy.
Yeah.
Given
how, I would say Pillow and Pato, definitely.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does Pato have the super license points?
Let me look at his finishes. So he's finished 2nd, 5th, 4th. The 7th and 3rd and 4th. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He's got to be close, but it's really that 7th place finish that's killing him. Because I think it's your combination of last 5 years for super license points that qualify you.
Hold on. I'm in Reddit. There's a super license tracker. Alex definitely does. Oh, Scott McLaughlin has enough. So isn't Scott Dixon? Oh, how can this happen? How is Will Power? Oh, yeah, here's the other one. Newgarden. I knew that. Colton's 32 points. Jack Crawford's 31.
I think if Pato doesn't have Pato. He's definitely close.
Let me go back up. I was going down through. So they had Lindblad, Boganovich, Gabriel Mini, Victor Martins. Yeah. Teo Pourchaire has enough. That's crazy.
Sorry, it's the best 3 seasons from the last 4.
Yeah, no, right. But I'm looking at it and no. Let's go to IndyCar. Pato's even, he's not even close. He's only got 22.
What?
Yeah.
I thought he'd be closer than that.
No, 22.
Second, so a 2nd, 5th, and 4th. Yeah. All right, well.
Yeah. Yeah, he had a 5th in, so he had 8 points for 2024. What did he finish this year? Oh, maybe it's not updated yet.
No, it's got to not be updated yet, because he did. Hold on, I'm looking at it right.
He had 8 points for 2024, 10 points for 2023. So he's got to be. I don't know how much you get for 2nd in the points. For 2nd in the points.
So this year we'll put him over.
Put him over. All right. So this year we'll put him over. All right. So Colton, yeah. So, but yeah, it's funny though. Like, Newgarden's good. But he's 34, so they don't want to touch him. Mm. Anyways, that's hilarious. Pillow's got 40. He's got a billion by now.
Well, and I think because Pato's done FP1 practice sessions.
Yeah, testing. Yeah.
I think you get a point that way.
Right.
By just participating. So he has a few points for a buffer, I would mm-hmm. think. But anyways.
That's hilarious. The super license tracker.
I wish there was an easier way to read all this stuff.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Oh, I'm looking at it right now. That's pretty cool. All right. So Tristan Vaudier, and then with the other car driven by Colin Brown and Tom Blomqvist, Scott Dixon will be rounding out the lineup.
That's right. We're still on IMSA lineups for Petit.
Yep. And then one other thing going on in the GTD class, Mike Skeen, otherwise known as the Sneaky Silver, will be in for Conquest in their Ferrari. With who's driving that car? Hold on a second. Daniel Serra and Manny Franco. So that'll be interesting. That should be fun. Elsewhere news. Kaku Ota will be driving for Meyer Shank in a test.
Oh, yeah. That's
right. In IndyCar.
That's right. He's having a good season in Super Formula, too.
Yep, Super Formula. But he can't drive at Petit because he has a Super Formula doubleheader.
Which is fine.
Yep.
Where is... Speaking of Super Formula... Yeah, as you mentioned, that weekend, it's doubleheader at Fuji. Nonetheless,
yeah.
So that'll be that'll be fantastic to watch.
It's gonna be great. Mick Schumacher will be doing a test.
Yes, that's what I was gonna want to bring up. That's really interesting to
with RLL.
See that go.
Yeah, see how that goes. Is right. See what else? Just real quick. Wait a minute. Nope. Oh, the Genesis Magma made its first appearance.
It did?
Yep, 30-hour test.
Wow.
32-hour test at Elgrave.
Oh, that's awesome.
With Pipo Durrani, Andre Lotterer, Danny Yukadella, and Matthias Jubé driving, so... Lots of test time there for those guys.
So, those are some good drivers to have
do the running too. Very good. Very good. Let's see real quick. Anything else? Oh! Congrats to Mark Marquez. Another championship.
You don't sound so enthused.
Yeah. I know. I'm a little tired yet. He's kind of a tiring individual to follow. He's either like when he crashes and has bad seasons, he mopes around, you know, and pisses and moans, and then has these great seasons, and then it's like, you know, he's just a jerk. No, it's just I'm just not a fan of the guy. He's talented, but just not a fan of the guy.
Okay.
The Italian fans do not like him. And I don't think it's because he's a Spaniard. They just don't like him. Kind of takes shots at Valentino. So.
Oh, I mean. Is he the most winningest MotoGP?
He's up there. He's pretty damn up there.
Because he's got seven.
I will say that. Yeah, he's up there. He's up there. All right. And before we move on to
season's
our picks,
season's not even close in MotoGP.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's
sort of cakewalked.
Yeah. I guess I was going off of because wasn't like the last 2 years pretty.
Last 2 years, he's been banged up.
Yes, I know he's been banged up, but like it's been kind of a back and forth year, season.
Yeah, this year, though, the Ducati was definitely the hot bike. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess I need to do more MotoGP watching because they are good races. Yeah.
They are. And they're quick. They're only like 40 minutes.
Yeah.
All right. One last thing before we move on to our picks. kind of a sad week with the passing of Formula One paddock head dog Roscoe Hamilton. So pass our thoughts and prayers on to Lewis and the family and on to Roscoe. He had a full life though, 12 years.
Yeah.
Would we determine that 84, 83 years? Like in dog years or human years or whatever?
Yeah, 80. Yeah, 84.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of a bummer. Anyway. Yeah.
But without, so, I guess without Roscoe in the paddock, you wouldn't have all the other dogs that have popped up since.
No, with appeared, other yeah. You so. Got Leo.
Yep.
All right. Okay, so let's move on to our picks. On to Singapore for a night race, as our fine friends at Sky TV will say, the most difficult race of the season.
I mean, that it is.
It's up there.
Might be rain on practice, but doesn't look like there'll be any rain come race day.
Will it be hot?
-82 degrees Fahrenheit. So not cool with humidity is high, so
yeah,
that's the killer. All right. Picks.
Okay. Picks. Nate from Parts Unknown has reported in.
Yes, he has. He's gone with Max to win. He's keeping this championship fight alive with that one. Although he's gone with Piastri finishing second. That's
yep.
It's not the giant points gap haul that Max would need in this scenario, but
yeah.
It's not like Piastri is going to go away quietly either. So it seems
right.
Reasonable.
No, good point.
And all things considered, he's gone with Hamilton finishing on the podium. That would be a very sweet result for him. And his dark horse is the Hulk.
The Hulk.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm gonna go Ferrari 1-2 and Lewis gets it. Leclerc second. Third, I'm gonna go Max. I think I'm gonna stay on the McLaren downfall bandwagon. And my dark horse for the weekend, Alonso. So, experience rules the circuit for this
gotcha.
One for me.
All right. I am going to go... I'm going to go Oscar.
Okay.
I'm going to go Max second. And then I am going to go... I'm going to say George, third.
Alrighty.
And my dark horse will be... I'll say Carlos.
Alrighty. So, not a lot of us have any faith in Lando, which...
No.
...is going to be taken one of two ways, either... We've all jinxed ourselves, and Lando's going to come back
yep.
fighting, or the trend might continue, that's what he's on.
Yeah. No, that's true. Anyways. Look, it wouldn't shock me if Max wins, so.
No, but I do like the stat that Antonio Giovinazzi still has more laps led at Singapore than Max does. This is the only track on the calendar that Max has not won at.
Yeah.
I think there's one or two other tracks that Max didn't win at that he raced at.
Yeah.
In previous seasons, but that list is like quite literally a handful.
It'll be awesome though.
So, all right.
We shall see what happens.
Yeah, Roval this weekend for NASCAR. F1's in Singapore, and even though the championship is wrapped up in MotoGP, they are in Indonesia this weekend.
This weekend is not the 8 hours to Indy, is it? Or is that in a couple weeks?
Hold on, they're checking.
Is that the weekend after Petit?
Why did I choose this one? It doesn't help me. No, Indy Hour is this weekend. 8 hours this weekend.
It is.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you got stuff to watch there.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yep.
Alrighty. That's this weekend. No Petit. Okay, so that's good. Okay.
We have
one more week. Is the Indy eight hour on Sunday or is it Saturday, Christian? Sorry.
It looks. Oh shoot. I was looking at last year's.
Oh, alright.
Hold up.
It's definitely not. It's definitely not in conflict with.
No. It's not this weekend. Sorry, false alarm. It is the weekend.
The week after Petit.
Yes, it is the.
Okay, so the 18th, then 19th. Okay. All right. Cool.
Yeah. So.
All right.
Yeah. Just NASCAR, F1, and MotoGP this weekend. That's what we got for the weekend.
We'll keep an eye on that.
Yep.
Exciting. All right, sir.
Yep.
All right. And on that note,
good night.
Thank you guys for listening to the Red Mist Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.